Hi, I'm Dylan Seidel.
I'm Tyler Seidel.
And I'm Colin Banks, and we're from the Everyday Losers. And you're listening to today's Boondoggle on Domain Cleveland Radio.
What's going on, everybody? It's Bill Bailey with today's Boondoggle on Domain Cleveland Radio. I just wanted to take a minute in this little intro before the intro to give you an update on some of the things we got going on here at today's Boondoggle. And we recently launched an email account, so if you have any questions, suggestions, or comments, you're enjoying the show, you want to see something different, you want to see certain guests on the show, you can reach us at todaysboondoggle@gmail.com. And as you know, the coronavirus lockdown has hit a lot of us financially. Boondoggle didn't escape it either. And if you want to support us financially so we can get you these interviews that you enjoy each week, you can donate to our GoFundMe. There's you get on GoFundMe, look up today's Boondoggle. We got a GoFundMe that'll be ongoing. And as well as a Venmo, you can donate. If you use Venmo, go to Venmo, Domain, or today's Boondoggle. And then also there's our Anchor sponsorship on the Anchor app, anchor.fm. Look up today's Boondoggle and you can become a monthly sponsor to us there. As you know, this is a veteran-owned and operated program we got going on here. It's incredibly therapeutic for a guy like myself who, you know, is a veteran with PTSD and anxiety. Just gets me out there talking with people and gets me out of my comfort zone. And it's been awesome. But it all costs us, you know, the travel, accommodations, to get to these interviews that you want to hear. So if you can help out anyway, we truly appreciate it. Also, please follow us on social media. It's at Today's Boondoggle. We're on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook. Just please follow, subscribe, comment. Download the episodes. We're on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, you know, any of the programs that you use to listen to your podcast. Please. Do whatever you can to support us, and hope you enjoy this episode. Thanks.
Thank you for tuning into this week's edition of Today's Boondoggle. Domain Cleveland Entertainment is a veteran-owned and operated entertainment cornucopia of nonsensical shenanigans. You can find interesting interviews, music news, entertainment information, and just about everything else in between. Thank you again for tuning into the show here at Domain Cleveland.
What's going on, everybody? It's Bill Bailey with today's Boondoggle on Domain Cleveland Radio, and I have the pleasure of speaking with the Tyler Bryant of Tyler Bryant and the Shakedown. What's going on, man?
Hey, man. Just getting the day going here in Nashville, Tennessee. How are you doing?
I'm doing pretty good. Just came back from my trainers. I was like, dude, I got to hurry up and get home. I got a phone interview. And
rocking.
I've been jamming your stuff, getting ready for this, man. Really enjoying it. I usually ask people what they've been doing to keep busy during this whole COVID-19 stuff, but you guys have been keeping really busy putting out this new album, huh?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I love playing shows more than just about anything in the world, and the only thing that really comes close to it for me is just being able to sit down and write and record, and kind of having this time at home. We were kind of looking for something to put our energy into, and it didn't take long to decide, let's just make a record.
Yeah, it's something positive. And I mean, your contribution to help everybody else try and keep sane during these times.
Man, I know. A lot of it started, it sounds very generous when you say it like that, but a lot of it was just, it started as me trying to keep myself sane. You know, we called the album Pressure because everyone is feeling a tremendous amount of pressure right now. And this was sort of just our way of taking it and trying to make something beautiful out of it, you know, and turn a kind of a lame situation into a good one.
Yeah, I got you, man. I mean, it's got a real good feel good vibe to it. And Yeah, like I said, and we'll get into that a little bit, but I wanted to start back real quick. Usually when I have people on, I like to get a little bit about their background, see kind of their foundation and what makes them tick. So let's talk a little bit about you when you were young. What did you originally want to be when you grew up?
Oh, man. Well, I mean, when I was really young, I wanted to be a cowboy, and then I wanted to be an extreme dirt bike rider, and then I wanted to be a professional skateboarder. And I guess about the time I was 11 years old, I decided I was going to be a musician, and I kind of stuck with that one.
Yeah, well, you have a gift, man. So 11 years old is when you first discovered music and started getting
into it. Well, I discovered it at 7. The elementary school I went to had a music program, which was really awesome for me because I learned about Elvis. They showed us a video of Elvis, and I think kind of being an attention whore, I related to seeing a video of everyone freaking out over this guy, and I wanted to be Elvis to the point where I like dyed my hair black.
Did you get the hip movement down and everything?
Oh yeah. Like, so we did a 50s program at school, and guess who they asked to be Elvis? Me. So I was just really, really into it. And then I got a guitar that had 3 strings on it, but it was more of just a prop for me to pretend I was Elvis with. And when I was 11, I met this man named Roosevelt Twitty in a music store, and he was playing the blues, and that was the first time music ever like hit me on a like a soul level where I felt something that I never felt before, and kind of just spent the rest of my life trying to recreate that feeling as much as possible.
Yeah, and be that conduit for other kids that were trying to discover music, you know?
Absolutely. Yeah, I had his name tattooed on my my left arm, so when I'm playing guitar I can remember, you know, like what a sweet gift that was, because it just him kind of going, do you like the blues? And me saying, I said, I don't know what it is, and he's like, well, here, this is what it is. And alone,
yeah, back then you're probably like, yeah, that's one of my favorite colors, you know.
Yeah, exactly. And it changed the entire course of my life.
Nice. So that what were some of the bands that were like your gateway as you started going down this music journey?
Well, it started with like the traditional blues guys like Lightnin' Hopkins and Albert King, Freddie King, B.B. King, Muddy Waters, so many guys like that, Jimmy Rogers. And then I started getting into the more electric stuff, like Johnny Winter and Jimi Hendrix and Stevie Ray Vaughan. And then I wound up at a Black Crowes concert when I was 15 or 16, and that's when rock and roll found me, or I found it, whatever, however it worked. And by 17, I was leaving high school and moving to Nashville on my own to try and start a rock and roll band.
Awesome. And where are you originally from?
Texas. I'm from a small town called Honey Grove, Texas.
Oh, cool, man. And then, like, what led you to, I mean, hearing the blues, I forget what the gentleman's name was you mentioned. You got him tattooed on your arm, but that's what kind of led you to learning, picking up guitar as well?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. I had a dirt bike at that time, and the dirt bike went up for sale, and an electric guitar went on layaway. You know, I started mowing yards to pay for it, and, you know, it was downhill from there.
Yeah, you're less likely to bust your ass playing guitar than you are in the dirt bike, right?
Yeah, well, you'd be surprised. I've found a way over the years.
So what can the fans expect from this album, Pressure?
Oh, there's a lot of different musical vibes on there. We're pulling a lot from a lot of influences, and as far as the songs go, there's a lot of different emotional vibes as well. You know, there's the more, the album starts off with a song called the title track, and it comes out just absolutely swinging, and that's sort of the start of the movie, and there's a lot of peaks and valleys from there.
Nice. Yeah, I really enjoyed Crazy Days, which is like your single, right?
And mm-hmm. Yeah, that was the first single.
And I was watching that video, and I was just like, you know, I closed my eyes, and I swear it felt like, you know, I was, you know, you're channeling some Tom Petty there, man. It has like a Tom Petty sound to it at the beginning, man. It was awesome.
Yeah, Petty's my hero, you know. This is a kind of a cool thing that recently happened. Steve Ferroni, the drummer from the Heartbreakers, started playing Crazy Days on the Tom Petty XM station.
Nice.
Which is like huge for me, man. I when I moved to Nashville at 17, I didn't have any money, and I almost got evicted for going to a Tom Petty show, because it's like, should I pay my rent or should I go see the Heartbreakers? I'm going.
And you made the right choice now, you know, especially.
Yeah.
And obviously he must hear some of that in it too, to play it on his station. That's great.
Yeah. My wife and I actually recorded my wife's in a band called Larkin Poe, and we did a cover with Steve Ferroni yesterday of a Tom Petty song, and I played bass on it, and she rocked the guitar. It was just so much fun.
That's awesome. That's great. And then, like, with the album, I know this is like asking a parent, like, who's your favorite child, but you got like a favorite on this one that, or something that you're really looking forward to playing for a live crowd again soon?
Oh, man. I'm really looking forward to, there's a song on there called Automatic, and I look forward to playing that for a live crowd. But I love them all, you know, they're all, special to me in some way, but some of them they're just designed to basically just burn down a venue with, you know what I mean? It's just going to be, crazy whenever we can actually rock these for our people.
Oh yeah. I was going to ask too, like, what's it, to, you know, what else have you guys been doing to kind of like just, you know, to get ready? Did you have like a tour or anything that you had lined up before everything shut down, or what were you guys in the middle of?
Yeah, we were going to be doing arenas for we had a 3-month arena tour with Nickelback and Stone Temple Pilots. So that was going to be a pretty big tour for us. We were going to be playing to a lot of fans that we had never played for before. And, you know, we're really excited about doing that, getting out in front of a new audience. And then, you know, we were going to go back to Europe this year, go back to the UK. We pretty much live on the road.
Nice. And then, did you
guys have 150 to 200 shows a year?
Wow. And so, no wonder you guys have been like keeping busy. I thought I read that some of these songs were already in the works before everything.
Yeah, that's correct.
Shut down. But, you guys already been, how much of it has been like new during, you know, quarantine or whatever?
I Hitchhiker was written during the album process. Holding My Breath was before the quarantine, before COVID. I want to say it was Hitchhiker, Coastin', Crazy Days were the sort of the songs that came during this time. I wrote Automatic the day before lockdown began. So that was, which is funny because it's like one of the more carefree songs on the album. You know, I had no idea. I remember the next day, one of my friends, Blair Daly, who I wrote that with, he wrote me and was like, "Hey, dude, like we're shutting it down." Some of them were written before the process, like Pressure, Holding My Breath. Some of these songs, like The Old Me, which I know they sound like they were written about what we're going through right now.
Yeah, like Holding My Breath, for sure. The title alone sounds like, you know, with all the masks and everything else, you know, I'd be
I know. That's just, so our record label actually was like hesitant for us to put the song out under that title. And we were like, dude, like this song is written before this. And I feel like artists are the last people, they like, we don't need, like, thing is censored now. You know, it's like we can't be censoring art. You know, we're not trying to make a statement saying you should wear a mask or you shouldn't wear a mask. I mean, personally, I would, but it has nothing to do with our song. That song is about anticipating better days, you know, and that's something that people have, you know, been waiting for long before, you know, the pandemic, you know, long before a lot of the things that we're dealing with now sort of boiled over. The lyrics feel perfect for the time we're living in. And that song's taken on an entirely new life for me personally.
Yeah, I bet. And then,
hey, baby, this is Double D, also known as Dream Daddy. And I gotta tell y'all something about our new sponsorship here at today's Boondoggle. And the name is Dream Nutrition. So if you're looking to empower your human vitality, well, then you come to the right place. With over 12 years of combined experience in cannabinoids and terpene products, Dream Nutrition products include CBD oils, patches, proteins, and so much more. The endocannabinoid system is believed to have involvement in regulating physiological and cognitive processes, including the immune system, appetite, pain sensation, mood, memory, and in mediating the pharmacological effects of cannabis. Support this veteran-owned and operated company today, and today's Boondoggle fans will receive 10% off their orders when using the promo code BOONDOG10 at checkout. That's BOONDOG10 at checkout. So go to the link. That's dreamnutrition.com/discount/boondog10. And remember, dream is not spelled like Dream Daddy. It's spelled DREEM. And start saving today because you deserve to feel your best. And you know that's right. So tell them Dream Daddy and your friends from today's Boondog sent you.
Like, have you guys thought about doing it? I've seen some of the YouTube videos you've done, like, you know, jamming and everything like that you put out there. Have you guys thought about, you know, what some of the bands are doing and doing like a live stream concert or anything like that?
Yeah, I'm glad you asked. Actually, on October 16th, when the album comes out, we'll be doing an album release show. So we pre-recorded the show. It's the first full band shakedown show of the year. We rented an incredible light setup. We had, you know, the people that work with us on the road come out and do the sound. We recorded it. It's going to be really high quality. And we're basically between songs, there's going to be an inside look into the making of the record, you know, and that'll be something we've never shared with our fans in depth like this.
Nice. Good way to promote the album too for, you know,
new
fans.
Yeah, we wanted to do my problem with a lot of the live streams is they just don't sound that good. So we found a platform that prioritizes the audio quality, and we just want to give the best experience possible to our fans. And we're going to be there's a live chat, so we can be like hanging out with people while it's happening. So
okay,
we can't actually be in the room
and everything. Yeah.
Yeah, it'll be really cool.
Awesome. Looking forward to that. I'll have to mark that on my calendar and check it out myself. You should call it like Tyler Bryan in the Lockdown or something.
Yeah, exactly.
So what's the creative process usually like for you guys or for you personally?
Oh, it's kind of all over the place. I never know what's going to cause what. You know, sometimes it'll start with, tuning my guitar weird, and then all of a sudden a song like The Old Me is there 20 minutes later. You don't even know what's happening. And then sometimes it starts with a drum groove or one word like pressure. What if we had a song called Pressure and we're just writing about being overwhelmed, and then all of a sudden you're trying to figure out what that feeling sounds like musically. But yeah, I have a studio in my house, and I pretty much live there in the studio, and my mentality is, you can't get a good song if you don't show up and, you know, be ready for it. So I just try to make something every day, whether it turns into a song or just a jam or just some words on a page. I just try to continue to make something and keep the tool sharp.
Oh, that's great. Yeah. Got to keep that mind going. So many people, like, I mean, this has been an opportunity and time for people to, like, kind of reevaluate, you know, especially when we were, you know, went under the stricter, you know, quarantine guidelines. You know, you could look at it as a negative or a positive, like, hey, man, it's time to slow down, reset, reboot, you know, and focus on the things that are, like, important. Like, you know, I got two teenage daughters, and, you know, we used to do, like, everything together when they were kids, and then they're teenagers, and they're out running around, and, you know, then the relationship's kind of like, okay, you know, hey, Dad, how you doing, like, in passing, and then all of a sudden, they're locked back together again, and we get to rebuild that relationship, you know, and focus on the important things, you know? So it's...
Absolutely.
You know, I guess it's just how you look at everything, and it's just, as long as we don't
Absolutely.
Forget when the rat race opens back up, like, you know, and it's like when the what is that race pistol goes off, everybody, you know, goes back out to the grind of the world, you know. It's just like, don't forget those little quality moments, you know, and
keep those relationships going. That's one of the things that I've really enjoyed about this time. You know, I got married in October of last year, and, you know, my wife's a touring artist as well, so we'd plan to get married and then basically disappear and not see each other a whole lot this year. we've been able to spend so much time together and, you know, just do like life things, you know, and ultimately, you know, I think a huge inspiration out of songs. It's like, you know, if the songwriting starts to get stale, it's like, well, maybe you got to put some, you know, and, I feel like my well has full and full and full and full and fuller, you know, during this time.
Yeah, you get to create art together too, you know.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, write a country song over morning coffee, that kind of thing.
Awesome. So, when you guys were out playing and touring and everything, did you have any kind of like superstitions for having a great show? Like, I got to make sure that I, you know, tie my shoes left over right or right over left or any crazy stuff.
I'm extremely OCD, so I pick up like a, you know, a thing, and I think it's like, again, I have to do it. So I have a couple of weird little tendencies. There's like, I have a playlist of songs that I listen to in the same order before every show. You know, I have a certain way of putting my stuff away before I go on stage. I have basically like these oils that I put on that I feel like kind of calm me down, because I get incredibly nervous before every show.
Some lavender. And then,
and then it all goes away. It goes away. Yeah, I mix like 10 together, and then all of the, you know, when I get out on stage, it's like you're not thinking about any of that stuff. It just all goes away. But I have an insane amount of little rituals that I do before every show.
That's great.
Yeah, we always, if we have friends or guests at the show, we always clear the dressing room at least 30 minutes before, so we can all kind of get in our headspace. And, you know, mine normally consists of like tightening my socks and doing stupid stuff like that, but
Gotcha. So I wanted to ask you a few of the questions I normally ask my guests on here. Is there a song that you feel has inspired you in life? Like, whenever you've been like down and out or whatever, is there something that is a go-to that you can play that just always motivates you to pick you back up?
Yeah, there's quite a few of them. I Won't Back Down by Tom Petty is a huge one. A Lie, Petty song that I think about almost every day. Most of the things I worry about never happen anyway, which is from Crawling Back to You. All the time, because it's true. Like, you know, we spend so much of our time worrying about stuff that is you know, hold, it carries no weight. So
I feel
that's something
you on
that I think
one,
about.
Man. Yeah. I get stuck in my own head a lot doing those same things, you know, so I can relate
yeah,
for sure.
Yeah, me too. Me too. You know, it's constant. And music's like one of the things that helps me like get out of my head. You know, it's like the best form of medicine for that.
Nah, I gotcha. Now you're talking about like rituals before concerts and or before live shows and everything. Do you have like any kind of morning ritual that you do, a routine that gets you up and ready to have like your best day possible?
Yeah, I wake up and drink coffee. I don't do or I drink coffee, man.
Yeah, that seems to be the go-to.
If we have to leave a hotel at 7 in the morning or something, then I make sure I'm like getting my coffee at 6 a.m. so I can just sit and have that time to write. And or, you know, if we're on the road, then it's like I want to have time to like reach out to the people that I miss and just all over a cup of coffee. You know, so much good work gets done over a cup of coffee.
Yep. And then all your times out traveling, it doesn't necessarily even have to be with the band, but is there like a favorite place that you have that you've ever visited?
Oh, that's a difficult one. I think one of my favorite memories is our first time in Lisbon, Portugal. It was going to be our first big kind of stadium size show with AC/DC, and it was our first show ever in Europe. And it was just, we got there the night before to the venue, and it was right on the water. And I got to walk around and just spend some time in a new place by myself, and went and had a great meal. And you know, I made some friends, and I, you know, it's just a special memory to me looking back. And then we really connected with the audience there in Portugal, and yeah, it's just it's a treasured memory.
Awesome. And then who?
And we went to a castle. We went to this amazing castle there, and it was the first time I'd ever seen anything like that.
Nice. You guys get to go inside and stuff.
Oh yeah.
Awesome. It's great. So who, like three people who've inspired you or you can credit for making you the person you are today?
I would say my dad has a work ethic. You know, he worked two jobs the majority of my life and was, you know, out the door when the sun would be rising and, you know, come home, you know, when it was down, just be sweaty and exhausted. Always really respected that because I never heard him complain. So he always taught me ethic was one of the most in life. I'd say Twitty inspired me to music, and not just to hear music, but to feel it, and that's something I'm really grateful for. And then I would say Jeff Beck. I spent a lot of time on the road with Jeff Beck. And I think watching him so much, he's constantly trying to reinvent himself. And he's reinventing himself because he succeeds. And that's something that I find incredibly inspiring, not getting stuck in the same thing, you know? Like, I could most definitely just make, you know, blues album after blues album, but I think it's exciting to take musical, try to make something fresh out of them, and yeah. So those would be three people that really influenced and inspired me. You know, there's so many others, but those are the three that come to mind.
Well, yeah, and like you were just talking about with Jeff Beck, you had mentioned like sometimes, you know, when you tune your guitar a different way and you get a different sound, you know, it's just like always like discovering some other way to, you know, use your paintbrush, so to speak, you know,
and create. Absolutely.
So here's a favorite of the show. A lot of people love hearing all the different answers from their artists. Take you back to your childhood. What was your favorite toy as a child and why?
Ooh, my favorite toy as a child. That would have been, oh man, I'm trying to think of like the age. It would have been my skateboard. I love to skateboard. I was always a daredevil. I'd try to see how much I could jump, see how high I could get, what tricks I could pull. And yeah, that was a fun one. I'm sure a lot of my bandmates would probably cringe, but I just got a new skateboard to like try and get some of that back. I think it's important to try and feel like a kid, you know, to try and find that your childlike enthusiasm and hold on to it, because it's so easy to lose that as you get older and life starts happening. So, I got a damn skateboard.
I totally get that too. It's like as we get older and we kind of get jaded from life, you know, but we're most creative as children, I think, you know, the imagination and all that. So, you know, as an artist, especially, I could see wanting to keep that alive, you know?
Yeah.
So, any message that you have for our military members that are currently serving overseas?
I would just say thank you for your service, for all that you've sacrificed. Thank you to your families for what they're sacrificing, and get home safe.
Awesome. So before we wrap up, because I know our time's coming up, but two things. If fans that are listening, our virtual audience here are listening, or are new to you and want to check you out or support you guys during this this downtime, where would you send them?
I would say, you know, just we're on all of the platforms. Even just sharing our music with your friends is huge. You know, that's what allows you to go to TylerBrightonTheShakedown.com. We have a ton of new merch out. You can pre-order the new record. That would be my main suggestion. That would be number one on the wish list, that you order yourself a copy of the record. And yeah, we just can't wait to get out and play live and in person for you.
Awesome. Yeah, it's a great album, so I definitely highly recommend people picking it up, man, just to get your head right through this time. Like you said, music is a healer. And I really felt I felt good listening to the album, so definitely
That's awesome.
Recommend, man, and I'll be jamming some more.
Awesome.
So before I let you go, can you do me one last favor?
Yeah, what's that?
Cut a promo ID for the podcast.
Okay. Yeah. What's the name of the podcast again?
Today's Boondoggle.
Boondoggle?
Yeah, Today's Boondoggle. So just introduce yourself and say you're listening to Today's Boondoggle.
Is it Boon with an N or an M?
N.
Okay, Boondoggle. Okay. Hey, everyone. It's Tyler Bryant from Tyler Bryant and the Shakedown, and you're listening to Today's Boondoggle.
Awesome, man. Thanks a lot. Man, it was great talking with you. Hopefully we can do it again sometime, like live in person when you're coming through on tour.
Absolutely, man. You're in Cleveland?
Yeah.
I love that, man. My longtime guitar tech is from Cleveland, and we always have a great time when we pass through.
Awesome. Well, I'll be on the lookout when everything opens back up, man. I took my kids down to Nashville a few years ago for the first time and had a blast. So that's definitely on my radar for, you know, a future trip too. So we'll connect somewhere.
Where are you from originally?
I grew up in Cleveland my whole life. Well, in a suburb of Cleveland called North Homestead. So lived here my whole life and then, you know, traveled in the military and now I'm back here. So
awesome. Well, thank you for your service.
All right. Thanks a lot, man. Enjoy the rest of your day and your interviews, and we'll keep in touch.
All right. Sounds good, brother. Take care.
All right. You too. Bye.
Down and look through the haze. Virginia?
Sand crab or whatever?
Yeah, whatever that... What was that officer, the ex-officer out of where... He was another shithead.
The ex-officer.
Ex-officer in our Fedor.
Fedor.
He tried ratting us out in Boston because he used to be in our unit, you know, so he knew all our scams and schemes.
What a dick.
So here we are, you know, last day, we always leave early anyway, you know. It's like, one, they made us... We actually lived in the tents.
Yeah.
We still went out on Humvees every night. Just climbing the back... They weren't letting nobody out of this base and nobody into the base, you know, into the compound, you know, keeping us under strict rules.
Yeah. We know how that works.
But he was trying to bust us the whole 2 weeks. It was like
jackass.
He was just going with the other officers and going right to the command, going, I know these guys, they're going to do this, they're going to try and do this, they're going to try and do this.
Yeah, right up there.
So it was kind of like a game for two
weeks.
Right. He was trying to bust
the
us. It was
kind
of like McHale's Navy with the officer trying to bust McHale on his island.
Captain Binghamton.
Binghamton. Because he was all over us.
who was the officer who was a soccer player? He always used to wear those freaking Umbro shorts to drill, and he was during the PT. He stood up and he challenged anybody who can beat me, I'll buy dinner tonight or something. Three guys beat him. He was like, well, we weren't playing. That didn't really count. It's like, you're a dick. He was there when I first came into ACU2. And they cleaned house like 2 months after I got in there. All of the O's, with the exception of me, I was the only O left standing because I was brand new. And the XO, the CEO of the center, called me in. He said, you're going to be the only guy left because you're new. We don't know that you're an asshole yet. Everybody else, they're out.
They're out. Well, this guy chased us around and tried busting us. We didn't know. Glenn got the word from the chief thing or something. He heard him talking in one of their meetings.
Glenn was in the chow line. And a couple of guys back from the door and this command, whatever.
And he's like, because it was all muster, you know, the last day. We already had our flights, everything. You know, we had our Humvee arranged.
Transportation
Uber,
jumping arranged.
Back in Humvee, our Uber out of the gate, you know, and get over and get our van and booze and the last hurrah before we fly out. Well, we're off base. We were doing the hurrah before we fly out. And we were just going to leave straight from there and hit the airport and be gone.
Yeah.
We were already, our tent was empty. He was trying to bust us. Glenn had to be there for a chief's meeting or something. And so he was on inside the compound and heard them talking, and Fedor's trying to fucking nail us. So he calls and says, you guys got to get back on his base before we line up tomorrow morning. Here we are taking the frog, trying to find our uniforms again to put uniforms back on. We're already set to go home. He's marching the fucking base commander down there to fucking retard place, you know, so we're not there, and here we are. All ready for
morning,
you.
Lieutenant.
We just came in. Our tent's empty. We just came in on the Humvee and like, we're like, ha-ha.
He was so pissed, man.
He thought he had us nailed to the cross.
Such a dick.
He was an entitled prick. I forget what he did on the outside, but he was one of those that thought he was better.
He was actually that guy who, he went into the GE leadership program where he had to, you know, it was one of those things, you can survive that, you're going to make six figures guaranteed within GE or somewhere else because they'll snatch up. So he was he went to the Merchant Marine Academy.
He had the Thunder Chicken on his engineer.
Yeah. Right. And then he
went to Great Lakes Maritime Academy.
Yeah, he went into GE and moved around the country for a little while. And I think he left there. I'm not sure what he's doing now. Nor do I really care.
He was a weasel. Probably killed. I heard he was friendly fire.
He might have been fragged.
He was a weasel.
He was in charge of beach cleaning.
Was he really?
Yeah.
I thought that was Costa. Costa.
And thank you for listening to another story time from the VFW Hall. Brought to you by Today's Boondoggle. Thank you for listening once again to today's Boondoggle Radio Show. Please check out our website, domaincle.com, and todaysboondoggle.com. Be sure to follow us on social media at Today's Boondoggle on Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, and Twitter for more information about this podcast. Support us on www.anchor.fm/Today's Boondoggle, as well as on GoFundMe and Venmo. Be sure to subscribe, comment, download, and listen to us on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Spreaker, and all the other podcast platforms. Please email us with questions, suggestions, and comments via todaysboondoggle@gmail.com. Please leave us comments and 5-star reviews. Thanks once again for listening to Today's Boondoggle Radio Show.
Thank you for tuning into this week's edition of Today's Boondoggle. Domain Cleveland Entertainment is a veteran-owned and operated entertainment cornucopia of nonsensical shenanigans. You can find interesting interviews, music news, entertainment information, and just about everything else in between. Thank you again for tuning into the show here at Domain Cleveland.